I know it's here somewhere.
Finally.
Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Yeah, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, thanks for that intro, Scott. This is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, and you're joining us once again for that little bit of cyberspace that is our own. Yeah. Gotta love that. Well, I tell you what, we're gonna have some big fun this week. I'm just really psyched about some of the stuff we've got for you on the podcast. We, of course, have the Game Master back again, helping us with his wisdom when it comes to video gaming. We'll do that a little bit later in the podcast. Right now, though, I've got some really cool geek culture that I appreciate a lot. Now, let me set it up for you. You have heard me play songs by Jonathan Coulton before. I mean, who could forget such great classics as, the one with the zombie. You remember that one? If you don't, you need to go back a few podcasts and get the one with the zombie. That was cool. And then there was the one with Chiron Beta Prime, which was Christmas on an asteroid, with some people who had been captured by renegade, evil overlord robots. I mean, Jonathan Coulton just has such down-to-earth, homey music, you know what I mean? Anyway, the thing is, he is a geek as well as a musical dude, and like a lot of us geeks, he really appreciates his laptops, okay? And particularly, you can tell if you listen to this song very closely, he's talking about a MacBook Pro. Now, I can get down with that because I personally would like to have a MacBook Pro. Now, I gotta admit, I haven't really been tempted to sing a love song about a MacBook Pro yet, but Jonathan Coulton has, and you kind of got to appreciate that, don't you? Here's Jonathan Coulton with his song, A Laptop Like You. And yes, it is a love song.
Here you are at last. Bring my cold, lonely soul sweet release from my weary past. Always searching, one missing piece was you, and I beg you come away with me, and together we will find a place to call our own. I can't wait to see what I can do with a laptop like you. Not your CD slot or the Unix on which you are based. You make my lap hot. It's underneath your aluminum case there's love, and I forgive your strange one-button mouse. I forgive the way your keyboard leaves marks on your screen. I can overlook a fault or two for a laptop like you. We will always be together in love and spite. Tied through wind and You will seem big and heavy and slow. I will carry you to wherever it is laptops go to die. Don't think it won't be hard on me. How am I ever gonna find a way to justify the money I would spend on something new for a laptop like you? For a laptop like you.
Kind of makes you sad, doesn't it? Thinking about throwing away that old laptop. It was so good to you at one time, then it just got old and slow, and you had to toss it in the trash heap. And I had to do that to one of my old laptops recently. It had died. Actually, it had died several times over. First, the CD-ROM died, then I lost a keycap. You remember the episode, the podcast, when I was having a bad tech day and lost the keycap? If you want to go back and look through the podcast show notes, you can play that and relive the trauma that was that day for the doctor. At any rate, I recently took that laptop after the CD-ROM had died and the keycap had come off, and then finally it completely apparently fried and it wouldn't even run anymore, and I threw it into a dumpster. It was both poignant and yet at the same time slightly satisfying. Kind of odd. But you know, what you don't want to do is you don't want to think about the amount of money that you spent on that thing as you throw it into the dumpster. Ouch. Anyway, so I kind of can appreciate where he's coming from with that particular song. Yeah. Anyway, let's see. Of course, as you always are told,
this is the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here.
Yes, indeed. If it's tech, it's right here on the Tech Podcast Network. And as I mentioned before, you need to go to the newtechpodcast.com v2.0 website and check out the new features. It rocks, and there's a lot of cool tech podcast for you to peruse and really appreciate. Also, we want to remind you that, of course, you can go to GoDaddy.com, but here's the cool thing. If you enter a special code, that I'm about to give you, you'll get 10% off of a domain that you register. Dude, how cool is that? The secret code for you to use is BLU71. That's BLU71. Write that little code down, because if you use that, you'll get 10% off GoDaddy's domain names. And if you use the special code POD71, you'll get 10% off their hosting rates. Cool. So anyway, check that out. And you can do the same thing, by the way, by clicking on the GoDaddy banner at the bottom of the website, or the one over at the side of the website where it says save 10% on our world-class web hosting. There you go. How cool is that? And while we're talking about such things, I do want to remind you that we still have, you know, we're still in April, so it's still available to do the Go to My PC special cool promo, where you can try it for 30 days for free, 100% free, all the features unlocked and open. You might as well try it. I mean, come on, it's free. Try it out. I really think you'll like it, because if you can't get to your PC and you leave a file on it and you really got to have it, it's kind of nice to be able to go to your PC. That's why they call it Go to My PC. And then you can retrieve that file, and that kind of rocks. All you got to do is go to gotomypc.com/, that's a / podcast. If you do that, you will be able to get a 30-day free trial of Go to My PC and check it out. It is very cool. All right, let's look at what's happening on the blog this week. The blog, of course, being Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. That's at drbill.cc. CC standing, of course, for computer curmudgeon. big, huge, gigantic news, and that is Ubuntu version 7.04 has been released. Now, at the point that I blogged this, which was on April 17th, it was about to be released on April the 19th, but since today is April the 22nd, as I record this, it's already been released. Did you get all that? If you didn't, don't worry about it. The bottom line is that Ubuntu version 7.04 has been released, and it truly rocks. As a matter of fact, right now, as I speak, I am installing Ubuntu Server 7.04 on the, yes, I'm going to choose use entire disk for that particular option. See, I'm actually in the process of installing it right as I'm doing the podcast. How weird is that? And it keeps asking me for more options, and I keep clicking the options. So, you know, hopefully I don't have to pay too much attention to it. So, but it's real easy to install, so that should go well, as it just chugs away there in the background. Anyway, I'm looking forward to playing with Ubuntu Server, and I'm looking forward to, do you want to permanently erase logical volume data? Well, of course I do. Threw caution to the wind. Anyway, there you go. It's going to be fun to play with. I'm looking forward to it. And going to set up a web server. Going to do the whole light TTPD thing. And serve Flash-based videos off of it. So, gotta love that. All right, next item. Microsoft is to resell fuel cells. Now, as I say in the blog entry here, Microsoft is branching out. They have plans to resell and market fuel cells, under their own brand. So, guess what? It may not be long before you're able to charge up your cell phone with a fuel cell from Microsoft. Now, you got to ask yourself a question. Is that a good thing? You're charging your cell phone based on Microsoft fuel cells? Yee. Well, anyway, they don't make them, so I do have hope for them. They're made by a company called Metis, a startup specializing in fuel cells. And, of course, Microsoft just said, dude, we'll just put our name on them, and there you go. So that's what they're doing. Kind of cool. A lot of future, I think, in fuel cells, as well as many other alternative energy technologies. I'm kind of into that. I like it a lot, particularly hydrogen. I like the hydrogen. Okay, anyway, next item. Another reason not to use Microsoft for your DNS server. Now, I used to have a Microsoft-based DNS server. Yes, 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 I know. Even the doctor had a Microsoft-based DNS server in his DNS server farm. But no longer, of course. It died a horrible blue screen of death. And so I said, what am I doing running a Microsoft product anyway? So I don't do that anymore. But there you go. It was out there. And it's a good thing it's not out there anymore, because there is a severe security issue that Microsoft Security Response Center has confirmed. It is an attack based on proof of concept code impacting its DNS server software and Windows server based systems. The concept enables malicious users to run code remotely under system privileges. Whoa! Generally granted to the DNS service itself. Now, this is, shall we say, bad. Okay? Basically, really bad. So, if you're running a Microsoft DNS server, know this, there isn't a patch yet. They're going to get it out as quick as they can, they say. But, as we'll find out in another entry here, or actually not a part of the same entry, it says, don't hold your breath for that DNS patch. They're hoping to get it out no later than Patch Tuesday in, get this, May. Now, think about this. This is a worm that attacks the DNS server and enables it to run software as full administrator privileges on your box. And they're thinking, oh, we'll get it out, oh, I don't know, in second Tuesday in May? Microsoft, give me a break. Yeah. Okay, next item. Mozilla's Thunderbird email client. I don't know about you, but I'm really liking Thunderbird. Mozilla's Thunderbird email. I like it a lot. I have, in the past years, mainly used Squirrel Mail, which is a web-based interface. I like it for a lot of different things, a lot of different reasons. I can, for one thing, I can bring it up anywhere on any computer. These are all good things and so forth, but I know that a lot of people are spoiled, and they're used to having a nice, graphical, cool-looking email client that then they can see all their emails that they want to see in HTML, and they can, you know, deal with it a little better. And you know, one of the things I like about Thunderbird a lot is its spam, anti-spam features. It's got a Bayesian filter in it. It learns what is spam as you tell it, this is spam, oh, and this is spam, oh, yes, and this is spam. And it learns from you, and then it knows what you believe spam to be. And if something comes in and it says, I believe this is spam, and you say, no, it's not, you're not going to miss out on any email from that person again. That's cool, because my server-based anti-spam systems have in the past sometimes kind of incorrectly identified things, and I haven't gotten email, and people get a little upset when they send an email and you don't actually get it. So I like Thunderbird, okay, for that reason. Now, the cool thing about Thunderbird is they have gone gold with their version 2.0. It has some really cool features, not the least of which, from my point of view, is the ability to directly use Gmail inside of Thunderbird and actually use Gmail to send the email out through Gmail's SMTP box. Now, you might say, Dr. Bill, what is the cool part about that? Well, the cool part about that is when I'm sitting at work, the firewall at the Center for Creative Leadership is locked down mega tight, okay? Our networking folks, hi, Deronda, our networking folks are really serious about security, and that's a good thing. But the thing about it is it means that I can't send email out from my system at CCL to my home server. It just won't work because the ports are all blocked. And I'm not the network administrator, so I can't open the ports. And I'm sure not going to go to our network administrator and say, hey, will you open up SMTP port 25 for me? Yeah, right. When she gets off the floor laughing, she'll be say, you've got to be kidding. Of course, I'm not going to do that. But here's what's cool. Now, with Thunderbird, I can use Gmail to send out to Gmail's SMTP server, which is not on port 25, but it's on some other bizarre port, and it actually works. Now, the downside to that, quote, feature is that it will identify the mail by my Gmail account, okay? So I may be sending the email out as drbill at drbill.cc, but when you get the email and go to reply, it's going to reply to drbillbailey at gmail.com, which is my Gmail address. Okay? So, I don't exactly like that. Okay? That's kind of a little bit of a problem to me, because I really don't use that Gmail account for very much other than testing. I don't want people really getting that address and using it for my email address. Now, I know you're saying, haha, I have your Gmail account address. I'm going to send you mail. Well, that's fine. I don't care. That's cool. But I don't check it as regularly as I do my other email accounts, because it's mainly a test account for me. So therein lies the problem. Now, there is a solution. Unfortunately, it's not a freebie. And I've been trying really, 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 really hard not to spend any more computer money. Okay? I haven't been doing the greatest job in the world at that, but I'm trying. And I recently found that there is a solution to my dilemma that I've been struggling with for quite some time. And that is a website called Auth, A-U-T-H, smtp.com. In other words, authorizedsmtp.com. You basically set up an account with them, and then you send your outgoing SMTP server mail through them, and you can do it through a port other than port 25, and therefore you can do it from behind a firewall. So it's cool if you're like on a laptop and you're out on the road and you want to send your email from your Thunderbird account and you want to send it out, you can send it through them. However, here's the catch. It's $24 a year. Okay? Now, I know that didn't sound like a lot of money, but when you've been spending money on computer utilities like I have lately, that additional 24 bucks probably just won't go over, okay? So, Maybe eventually I'll try that, but you know, right now I just don't have it in the budget. So there you go. Now, if you want to send me $24 so I can try it, you can do that. You know, there's a little button right there on my website at the very top that says money. And if you click that little button, it says bottom line, send us some, please. And there's another little button that appears that allows you to send me a contribution through PayPal. So if you want Dr. Bill to be able to send email out through an SMTP gateway that is not on port 25 so I can do it from behind a firewall, you can make a donation for $24, and I guarantee you that's what I'll use it for. How's that? Yeah. Okay. Well, it was worth a shot, you know. Anyway, next item. And actually, last item for our news from the website, the blog, known as Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. And of course, it is our Geek Software of the Week. Now, I have many friends who come to me because they're interested in computer stuff. And one of them is a friend of mine whose name is Gary Price. And he said, hey, Dr. Bill, sent me an email. And he said, listen, I want to burn a DVD. Now, he has a DVD burner, okay? He says, I want to burn a DVD, and I've got some video files, but I want to be able to actually put them on a DVD so I can show them to some folks. What do I need to do? And I said, well, do you have Nero? And he goes, huh? I said, okay, do you have, and I named off a few other applications. He goes, I said, okay, never mind. You don't have any applications maybe that came with your DVD? He says, well, you're the one put it in the computer. Did it have any? I said, no, yeah, you're right. I got it super cheap, so it didn't have any software with it. So he didn't have any DVD burning software to burn his videos to the DVD. Now you might think, huh? You're doomed, man. You can't do it. Well, guess what? The Geek Software of the Week is a program called DVD Flick. Okay, it's a weird name. I'll agree with you there. But it is pretty cool software. It's open source, 100% free, and it supports all kinds of video codecs. Codecs, not Kodaks. Kodak is like, you know, the old film. Never mind. Codec. Okay, coder, decoder, codec. And that is codecs like AVI, MPG, MOV, WMV, ASF, FLV. In case you're wondering, FLV is flash video. So, yes, you can even burn flash videos to DVD using this software. Dude, how cool is that? Other supported codecs include MPEG 1, 2, and 4, XVID, DivX, Windows Media Audio and Video, MP3s, Ogvorbis, H.264, ON2, VP5 and 6, and of course, like I mentioned, it is open source. Dude, that means it is free, and it's cool. Now, you might say, Dr. Bill, where do I go to get this amazing software? Well, you go to dvdflick.net, which is available in the blog. Click on the little link, and it will take you to dvdflick.net. So there you go, our Geek Software of the Week. Now, it's time, once again, for our friend and buddy, the Game Master. Now, you remember how over the past several weeks, as we've done the Game Master segment, I've kind of grumbled and griped, as a computer curmudgeon is wont to do occasionally, about the fact that he never seems to want to use the theme song that we picked out for him to start with. Well, this week is no exception. He wants to use a different theme song, but at least it's somewhat appropriate. It is a song from Naruto, and he is talking about Naruto. And if you don't know what Naruto is, it is a Japanese anime cartoon show and actually franchise of many different things. And so let's play Naruto Heroes Come Back as the theme song to introduce the Game Master segment. Yeah, kind of weird, isn't it? And they're singing in Japanese. I can't even understand them, but that's just the way it is. All right. right, well, it's just about time again for the Game Master, and here he is once again, the Game Master himself. What do you have for us this week?
I have a somewhat old fighting game for the Nintendo GameCube.
Uh-huh. And it's called?
Well, you would like it in one sense because it's a button masher. You don't have to really think about it.
Dude.
In another sense, you might not like it because it's based on an anime, which I know you don't like quite as much as I do.
That's okay. Depends on the anime.
Naruto.
The world's clumsiest, dumbest ninja.
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay, and you like Naruto because of what?
Mostly because of Sasuke.
Yeah, what about the game? What do you like best about it?
The game is called Naruto Clash of Ninja and the sequel Naruto Clash of Ninja 2.
Well, I can understand 2 coming after 1. That kind of works. Is it, like, awesome in terms of graphics and game control and immersion and all of those things?
Well, keep in mind it's a fighting game, so there's not much story to it at all. It's not meant to have a story.
I like it so far.
Yeah. The graphics aren't the best in the industry, but keep in mind they were made a couple years back.
Uh-huh.
In terms of game control, I'd say it's very good. You might not like it because it is based a little bit on strategy. Not as much as an actual strategy game, obviously, but enough that it helps to have a strategy.
Well, it usually does, which is why I don't always do so well, but then I like just bashing things. So, here's the question. You say this is for the GameCube.
Yes.
And I seem to remember you playing this down at Grandma's house.
Yes.
Okay, so I remember it pretty well, and there were people that were turning into other people and jumping around and flashing of cosmicness and jumping around, and I saw that.
Yes.
While you're playing it. Yeah. So it looked kind of interesting. Although at one point Naruto turned into somebody else, and that was a little disconcerting.
Yeah, it usually is.
Yeah.
Especially in the show.
Yeah. Well, and I remember one time you were playing it, and the puppy dog was the one that was attacking the regular ninja person, which I thought was rather weird. So you can play as the puppy dog.
Annoyingly, yes. There are a bunch of hidden characters, and not all of them are that great.
Uh-huh. Well, we've got to remember, this is the official Naruto talking puppy dog, so it's a little different.
Yeah. We're going to move on now.
I had to get that zing in, because, see, they've got a talking puppy dog, and actually have a talking hoppy toad, which I like the hoppy toad, particularly the really, really big one. Don't remember his name, but I remember he was cool.
Gamabunta.
Yeah, him. He's cool. He's really cool.
Yeah, him. Yeah.
And he has an attitude. So, anyway. So, onward and upward, or wherever we're headed with this.
Who knows at this point.
Yeah. So?
So what? I give it a... Well, the first one is actually not as good as the second one, which you might guess. I'd only give it about an 8.5 out of 10.
So not as super exciting as your other games that you'd recommended.
Correct.
But worth a finding it in a used video store.
Correct.
And getting and blowing things up and jumping around.
My main problem with the first one was there were only 6 characters. That's nothing to
a fighting
game. Maybe there's 7. Still not enough, though.
Yeah, the more the merrier, in other words.
Indeed.
I see. Well, okay, so do you have a hint for this game before we mosey on out?
Well, first let me tell you that the second game did make a huge improvement and scored itself a 9.5 at least out of 10.
In your system or somebody else's system?
Mine.
Of numbering? Yours. Cool. So it's better.
Oh, yeah, much. It's got,
cool.
I think, around 50 characters to choose from.
Including the puppy dog.
Yes, thank you, the puppy dog.
But what about the hoppy toad? Can you play as the hoppy
toad?
No,
but he does have his own level.
Cool. So he's like a boss on that level?
No, he just kind of sits there and stares at you while you're fighting.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta admit, it's like a kitty. A kitty can sit there and stare at you, and you know that you are just not worthy of being talked to.
And there's one who's
because
staring at me over there.
Yeah, that's our kitty. Okay, so there you go. Anything else to add before we start playing the theme music that you decided to have another theme rather than your regular theme yet again?
I got nothing.
He got nothing. So there you go. Let's play that theme that he wanted to play because he's constantly changing his theme. But, you know, he just doesn't have the concept of theme. You imagine Gilligan's Island each week having a different theme. It just wouldn't remember the words. I mean, that would be kind of the problem. But then I digress. Okay, enough for this week. We'll check in with the Game Master and board email next week. How's that? And there you go, the Game Master segment. That's kind of weird music, you know? I mean, it's catchy, but it's Japanese. Oh, man, now there's somebody screaming in Japanese. Anyway, there you go. That's the Game Master segment for this week, and we're going to fade it on out of here because it's just about time to fade me on out of here. And, of course, that means that you'll probably hear, yep, there's that other music, letting us know that it's time once again for the Doctor to be out of here. Join us next week. It gets weirder every week. I've noticed that. It does.